When the world is calling, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, including Montreal, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, travel from Columbus is closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
The Burt Show.
How's everybody doing this morning? How are you, Abby?
I'm doing pretty good. Mondays are kind of hit or miss because it depends on how long your weekend was or how exhausting it was. But I feel like I had a good mix of going out and doing fun things and just rotting on my couch. Yeah. So I'm ready to attack the week.
Okay. Mo, this was a sad weekend for you.
Yeah, this was a rough weekend, man. I was about to say we should probably just skip me. But making it in there, man. Yeah. You know, dealing with three close personal deaths this weekend. All in one weekend.
Oh, my God.
Three in one weekend. So, yeah, I'm not doing so well.
Yeah, you're on the struggle bus today.
I'm struggling.
Totally understand, man.
Yeah, man.
Cassie's back. How are you, Cass?
I'm good. I spent the last few days in New Orleans with my mom and my sister just bonding and spending some time together. We made some really good memories and had some really tough conversations. And so it was a great trip overall.
Cool.
Yeah.
On Friday night, I went to Tyler, the Creator with my son, Hayden. And Tyler got up on stage in the middle of the night, 9:30. and stayed there till like 11:30. It was really fun though. I had a great time. I didn't know but two songs.
Okay.
But other than that, it was a really great time. And then it was pretty chill the rest of the weekend. All right. So Kristen is entering the studio now because she has sold her forehead as a billboard this morning for Burt's Big Adventure. And the first sponsor is on what we called last week, that beautiful, pristine forehead.
Yes, this temporary tattoo went on way too easy. And my forehead is sponsored by the Poodoo today. From 6 a.m. until 10 a.m., I will be repping the Poo Dude.
And I love how the logo is blue, and you also have your Burt's Big Adventure blue hoodie on. I don't know if that was coincidence or not.
It was complete coincidence Tommy's been the one communicating with everybody, collecting their logos. Tommy, he did send the receipt for the $350 that he donated, right?
What $350?
This did he send the receipt?
An April Fool's joke, Kristen. We got no money.
It was Venmo for $3.50.
He did.
Is he on with us and ready to go? I would love for him to. He hasn't seen it, obviously, yet.
No.
Hey, Cameron.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good,
man. He's calling from the bathroom because he helped me adhere it to my forehead.
Did he? Because he's all around poo. The billboard is on the forehead this morning.
That's amazing. That's awesome. I can't wait to see it.
Oh, you have no idea how amazing it is.
Yeah,
that's a lot more words than I thought y'all would get on there.
Yeah, me too. And fun fact. So yesterday, Tommy had sent me an email asking for my forehead dimensions.
Yeah.
And so yesterday.
Wait. Uh-huh. Let's not just roll over that.
Yeah.
Tommy called you yesterday for what?
No. He emailed me Friday and it was like, forehead. I need your forehead dimensions.
You gotta know how much space you're working with.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You gotta be thorough.
When you put up a billboard, you don't want to waste any space.
No, good call, Tommy. Good call.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yesterday morning, first thing I do when I get up is I ask my husband, Bart, I need you to measure my forehead. And he obviously listens to the show, so he knew what this was for. So he measured. We had some discrepancies. He thought it was a little bit smaller. I was going to give it a little bit wider berth. So 2x5 is what the forehead is.
Okay. Like a postcard.
Yeah. Yeah. So 2 inches by 5 inches. And then Jimmy watched us do this whole thing. So then Jimmy wanted me to measure his forehead.
Okay.
So I measured my now 4-year-old son's forehead. And turns out his forehead, the exact same size as mine.
Now,
wow.
Now, this could have been non-traditional revenue for you also. Because if Jimmy was excited about you having the billboard on your forehead, certainly he would like to have it on his forehead as well. And he would just forget about it.
Yeah.
So that could have been added revenue.
So he could have been at preschool today with the poo-doo on his forehead, which the kids would have loved because they love saying poo and pee and poop and all that fun stuff.
Cameron, this is amazing $350 value you got here, man. Let me tell you.
Oh, of course, definitely. It's a lot cheaper than the billboards I have looked into.
But have we? You sent the receipt to Tommy, so we have...
We've confirmed everybody's paid across the board.
Okay. Oh, All right. Good stuff.
Except me. I added $150 to this one.
Yes, to make it a total of $500.
So what exactly is it the Pooh Dude does besides, like, are you in Noonan and you pick up people's poo if they just don't want to do it in their backyard?
The dog's poo, not the
people's
poo. Yeah,
well, yeah, that's a different conversation altogether.
Mostly dog poo. I hope it's mostly dog poo. No, yeah, that's what we do. It's just we started the business. I did lawn care for 5 years, and I would always step on it. It would get on my clothes, and I was like, I wonder if people would pay for it to be scooped. And it was actually my wife who came home with the business license and said, let's do it.
I'm just really curious how much that costs. So, like, let's just say I don't want to pick up my dog's poo, right? What am I paying you for that?
We charge by the month, and if you do a weekly service, that's $75 for the month, and that's me coming out once a week, scooping, and removing it.
That sounds like
a
deal.
I don't leave it with you.
I'm telling you.
Do you charge? Obviously, you charge more if there's more dogs, right?
More dogs and more square footage to scoop.
Yeah, sure.
Got it.
So the visual here is Kristen has literally your logo is on her forehead, which says the Pooh Dude. It says we scoop dog poop. Is that on your forehead? It is on your forehead too. And then underneath that is thepoohdude.com. And on either side of the logo and the website is two poop emojis.
That's amazing. I love that.
The whole thing fit.
And Cameron, as proof of purchase, I just texted you a picture of Kristen with said tattoo. Mm. So if you want to check that out, it's there for your perusal.
Yeah, proof of life of your temporary tattoo is officially on my forehead.
Two scoops of poop.
That's it. This is
really
my life.
That came out really good.
New proofs.
Didn't it? And I think we also have to credit the origin of this idea because remember, you walked in here and your forehead was so pristine that I'm like, man, that thing looks so good. Mm-hmm. And then you suggested the billboard.
I can only blame myself for this.
Yep.
The only person to blame is me, which is pretty typical. So, hey, you know, it's for the kids.
And it's Atlanta Face and Body that did it, right?
Yeah.
The forehead?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Atlanta Face and Body sponsored the smooth forehead. And then now the smooth forehead is sponsored by the Pooh Dude today.
All right, Cameron. So every video that you see from the Burt Show today will indeed have the Pooh Dude logo on Kristen's forehead.
I will be sure to catch every one of them.
I even put a little bit of white makeup underneath to make sure the logo really pops
a little
bit. Because I wanted you to see it. So there's actually some white makeup back there to make her sing.
Absolutely. The best $500 you have ever spent on advertising is right here, right now. I can assure you.
Oh, definitely.
All right, man. Thank you for the kids for Burt's Big Adventure. We appreciate you.
Of course.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment.
We lost another legend over the weekend. George Foreman passed away. And I think this is kind of shocking where I didn't know about George Foreman. Like, he wasn't really in my generation. I was kind of like, I thought he was just the grill dude. Turns out he's actually a world champion boxer.
Oh, yeah.
He was a two-time world champion and Olympic gold medalist who made a massive comeback at the age of 38 in 1987. But, you know, my generation just knows him as making really good and convenient burgers from your apartment and dorm room. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what a loss to the boxing community.
Do I have this wrong? Wasn't he like in his 50s when he knocked the heavyweight champ out?
Yeah, at the time that he knocked out Michael Moore, was his name.
That's
he was the oldest person to ever win the belt at that time. He's also the only fighter to ever fight, I think, maybe four or five guys in one night. A lot of people don't know that happened, but he fought five guys in one night, beat them all. George Foreman was different. And the way that he transitioned his life, if you know his childhood and where he comes from to become the man that he became and the family guy that he became, it's really something to see. He was a special human.
And aren't all his kids named George?
I think so.
Georgetta.
He has five sons. They're all named George. And he has seven daughters. One of them is, in fact, named Georgetta. Yep.
Yeah, but most know him as the pitch guy, the sales guy with his Foreman grills and stuff like that.
I know. Very successful, both in the ring and in the kitchen. So shout out to George Foreman. May you rest in power. All right, Club Shay Shay. Shannon Sharp had another very interesting interview with comedian Andrew Schultz. And I thought I'd bring this to the table because I was interested as to what the guys would say about something that Shannon does involving elevators. Now,
what I find interesting about this is men and women move throughout the world so differently, and there are little things that just feel so normal and innocuous to you that you pivot or you make changes to based off of your gender. Like, I know women, maybe we don't go out alone at night once the sun goes down because, you know, it's dangerous. But there's something that Shannon says that he does every time he's in an elevator with women that I would have never thought that any man would have thought to have done.
I don't ride the elevator with single women.
Yes,
so
you
now,
cannot do
if
that.
If a single woman is on the elevator, I got to wait.
Wait, why don't you? Because they just get too horny.
No, I don't.
Why do they get
the risk?
Run the risk of what?
Sometimes the mention of impropriety is enough to sway people's opinion of somebody.
Really?
So I don't do that.
So if a single woman's going to go into an elevator,
I'm not getting on it.
And what do they think?
I don't let women servers come into my room to bring food.
Really?
If they come to clean the room, I leave the room. I sit in the hallway till they're done. Then I go back into the room.
Now, have you ever like blown someone's mind with that? Like, has a girl ever done?
No, they just. I mean, a lot of times when people see me, like, okay, you can get on. I was like, no, I'll wait till the other. They said, no, it's fine. And I just keep it moving like that.
And do you think that they're thinking there's like some reverse racism thing there?
No, I don't know what they're thinking.
Do you clutch your purse when white women walk around?
My cross body? Nah. Because if I'm on the elevator by myself and a woman steps on, I'll get off.
So basically, he refuses to be alone with women because he doesn't want it to appear as if there could be anything going on. He's like, I'm just going to play it safe no matter what situation I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for him, that's really, really smart, that level of celebrity. And I think based on like Michael Irvin, remember how he was getting accused of a whole bunch of different things also. And it turned out it wasn't true. But this is just being 100% safeguarding your life as a celebrity because anybody can make an accusation. I think he's right also. Now in the court of public opinion, you are guilty until proven innocent. So if he just takes himself out of every one of those situations, it's no problem at all. I respect it.
I respect it too. I've done it as well, not to the extreme that he has because he's a big celebrity. He has to do that. But I have heard a lot of people say, like, if you are especially a big celebrity, you should never be in a room with a woman that is a stranger without someone else being in a room with you. Even like to the point of like sometimes if you're going in the same direction as a woman may be going and she's by herself, like I'll go a different direction. So that she doesn't feel awkward. It's little things you got to kind of know so that you don't find yourself in the situation.
Yeah, I heard that and I thought it was interesting because I know women do stuff like that where you're just constantly playing chess in your head because you don't want to be accused of something or you don't want something to happen to you. And so it's just something I didn't know that men were doing in their mind.
If I had his level of fame, I'd be doing the exact same thing.
Really?
100%. For sure.
All right, an entertainment lawyer is joining us to answer some of our burning questions about the It Ends With Us lawsuits. Like, do Blake and Ryan actually have a shot at getting their case dismissed? On your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like, suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a History Meets True Crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
I have identified some growth in myself that I would like to share today. And it's just good timing that a couple of minutes ago, Abby was talking about how, was it Shannon Sharp?
Yeah.
safeguards his relationship.
Yeah, Shannon Sharp basically says that he refuses to be alone in any situation with a single woman. And he does that specifically just because he doesn't want it to appear as if anything untoward could happen. So he just safeguards himself by not being alone with women.
I mean, that's extreme. And he's a major, major celebrity. So that's just really, really smart. And I think I have been guilty in the past of being too much of a people pleaser, like wanting to be liked by everybody too much. And I have, not at risk, but what's a word I'm looking for? I'm not exactly sure what the word is I'm
sacrifice.
Looking for. It's just that I've allowed drama into my past relationships, even in the smallest of ways when it didn't have to be there. And I'll give you an example of how I know it's different now. So I mean, you're talking about, 30-something years ago, I had a group of friends in Washington, D.C., and me and one of the girls in this group of friends became a little bit more, but not like when we were going out with each other all the time. I think we dabbled here, dabbled there, drank, and maybe hooked up a little bit way back in the day. But it was nothing, no big deal whatsoever. We realized it wasn't going to work or whatever, so we just remained friends. And it would normally just stay there, except Facebook, Instagram, and everything else. We just kind of found each other over the course of the last 12 years. And we'll just, in the most platonic of ways, catch each other up on our lives. I was posting more than she was because I have this job. So she knows the ups and downs of the relationships that I've been in and stuff like that. And she knows that I'm seeing Amanda very, very seriously. But she was coming into Atlanta. And she's like, how do you feel about, oh, she didn't say, how do you feel? She's like, I'm going to be in Atlanta for a convention. Why don't we have lunch? So, and again, we're talking about 30 years ago, and we're literally talking about like no threat whatsoever. I do believe, though, however, in my past relationships, I would have left that door a little bit open and said, this can't hurt. Yeah, I will go to that lunch. This time, and I also probably, if I wasn't going to go to that lunch, would have made 100 excuses on why I didn't want to go, with the last one being, I don't really want to upset the woman that's in my life that I'm having a relationship with.
Did you ever think to invite Amanda to the lunch?
No. Because I knew I wasn't going to go to it.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I didn't even waffle really back and forth all that much. It was just like, you know, I'm just going to straight up say that I'm not available. That's it. So I said to her, you know what? I'm just not available that week. And I didn't make any other open-ended thing like, hey, maybe next time you're in town, anything like that, which I normally would have done. I would have made excuses, anything, but I'm not going to safeguard my relationship, even though Amanda would have said, go.
Yeah.
She would have said, no problem at all. Absolutely. Even so, the fact that I didn't even want to open up the door for any kind of tension whatsoever was like big time growth for me, but also that I didn't have to explain myself. And that might be the bigger part of the growth, is that sometimes no just means no. And you, why do we always feel like we need to give an excuse and make it okay when we really don't?
Because you're a people pleaser.
Yeah.
No is a complete sentence. Like, you don't have to say anything after the no. That is, and you're well within your right. Like, you don't owe anybody anything, really. I mean, there's the people that are, you are close to, maybe, but everybody else, no. I mean, no is a complete sentence. You can say that and you can move on with life. And I love this because you're proof that you never stop growing, no matter what your age.
Yeah, man, that's the truth.
I've been struggling with that for years. I don't know why, but I feel like every time I just say no and leave it at that, it just feels rude. Like, right. It just feels like I have to offer up a reason as to why I'm saying no.
But you really don't. Mm. No. And most people won't question you on it. It's not like she said, well, how come?
Yeah.
And if she did, I would have said, you know what? Because I'm in a relationship right now and I don't want to rock the boat, even in the smallest of ways, even though I am 1,000% sure, again, Amanda would have gone, go to lunch. You're overreacting on the whole thing. Not only that, I doubled down and I told her about it. I'm like, just want to let you know, this girl from 30 years ago, I'm still talking to online. We catch up with each other, but I'm not going to that lunch.
Yeah, it's really uncomfortable when you say no and you have that moment of like, okay, are they judging me for saying no? And then you feel like you have to like word vomit your way into making everything okay. But I think this is a real win for you and a real win for your relationship that you're just like, nah, I don't want to go.
Yeah. And the level of relief on not having to explain yourself is really pretty amazing. It really is fantastic.
The relief?
Yeah, it's just like you don't have to explain your actions to anybody. All you got to do is really be true to yourself, and you don't have to describe it to anybody.
Look at that. Yeah, look at that growth.
Never
You're like 7
growing.
Foot tall over there right now.
That's the only time. That's the only time I said.
The Burt Show.
I'm a lot like a lot of you guys, I think, that I don't know what a Creighton is, but there I was rooting against them on Saturday night. I'll give any one of you guys $10 if you can tell me where Creighton is. What state is Creighton University in?
Isn't it Indiana?
Keep going.
Delaware.
Keep going.
Creighton.
Yeah. Keep going in what direction?
Yeah.
Can you give me a compass?
It's in the Midwest.
I love the Fighting Creightons of
they're the Blue Jays.
The Blue Jays, they're obviously from that state that's in the Midwest.
Yeah, that loves the Blue Jays.
That loves the Blue Jays.
You bet.
Yeah. I love.
Can you not think of a state?
I think that was happening. No, are you strong? You only guessed two of them, Abby. It's a lot more left.
You want to know why I really want to get it right? Yeah, Illinois. I love Creighton of Illinois.
No, they're in Nebraska. I had no idea.
Nebraska.
But there I was, again, a lot like you guys, watching all these basketball games, have no idea about any of the universities, no idea about Creighton. I do know this. This was funny. So I'm watching Creighton play Auburn at my friend Joel's house on Saturday night, and Joel, I know it's going to sound like I'm bragging, used to be the Auburn mascot.
What?
He was an Aubie, right?
Yep.
So in the middle of the game, we're watching the game, and he's like, he's watching Aubie on the sidelines. And he's like, the NCAA must have said something to Aubie because Aubies don't sit. And Aubie is sitting on the side of the sidelines right now. And we're never, never not on our feet.
Really?
Yes.
I love that instead of watching the game, he's critiquing the mascot.
That's what he noticed.
Oh, he was watching. So it's madness. It's the, you know, NCAA bracket time right now. And a lot of people think they know exactly what's going on with basketball, even though they didn't watch one or two games all year. So we found somebody to take on Abby's cat and see who would do better when it came to meow madness.
Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow.
And we found the perfect guy, Josh. Tell us about Josh, Kristen.
All right, so it was actually Josh's wife, Jessica, that applied for this because she's like, her husband is a notorious sports bettor. I think if I remember correctly, he has 11 brackets that he has filled out. The one against Abby's cat was his 11th. And he will literally bet on anything and everything. And he thinks he is a know-it-all when it comes to the NCAA tournament.
All right, so we will see, now that we are into the Sweet 16, which is doing better, your cat or Josh?
And we must remind you that there is definitely something on the line here besides just pride and ego and not getting beat by a cat in your bracket. So if Josh ends up getting beating Abby's cat, then he gets to have a weekend golf trip at Chateau Alon, a 2-night stay plus food and beverage. However, if Abby's cat can beat Josh, then his wife Jessica, who also loves to golf, will get a golf weekend with her girls, and he gets to stay home and watch the kids.
So Josh, just curious, how many hours of basketball did you watch this weekend?
Easily 24 hours.
That's a lot of games. Jessica, do you miss Josh?
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Now, Josh, are you intense when you're watching the games also?
I probably walk 7 miles just pacing back and forth across the room.
And do you have a favorite? Did you attend any one of these schools?
So my dad graduated from IU, and we got snubbed. I went to a small state school in New York, so I've always been an Indiana fan. And, you know, we were like the last team out. So I was kind of sour when the brackets were released last Sunday.
So your bubble was burst. You guys didn't make the big dance.
We didn't make the big dance.
Okay. Well, let's see how things are going right now. Abby, would you like to give us up to speed here?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way my cat decided to choose her teams was I would take two little crumpled up pieces of paper with two teams on it, and I would just throw them at her. And whichever one she bit or pawed at, I would choose for that bracket. So now, based off of those choices for the Sweet 16, we have 7 teams left in the bracket.
And which 7 teams has she advanced to the Sweet 16?
Obviously, the University of Florida.
We have...
They squeaked that one out, though, the other day.
Just barely.
Against UConn, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Michigan State, Maryland, Texas Tech, Purdue, Houston, and, of course, my favorite, the Fightin' Mormons, BYU, and Duke.
That hussy did not choose the Kentucky Wildcats?
Listen, it was a tough bracket. She was tired. I was tired. I was chasing her around my apartment. We were both stressed and crying and angry. It was an intense bracket choosing.
All right, so you have how many left in the tournament still?
Seven.
Seven, okay. How many does Josh have? Do we know?
Josh?
I have 10.
10.
Oh.
Okay. I mean, so it's not close. A runaway.
It's not over at all.
Which teams really messed with you this weekend?
Well, for my sport.
We lost him.
Oh, no, Josh.
Oh, no. Hey, Jessica.
Hey.
Okay, we still got you. He dropped out. How obnoxious has he been this weekend? Be honest.
You know, it gets really loud.
Jessica,
cats hide.
Oh my God, Jessica! If it makes you feel any better, so we have this rescue Bernese Mountain Dog, Boone, and he has an unfortunate backstory. So he gets very skittish. Anytime Bart watches basketball, our dog goes upstairs and hides. I swear, because that's how loud Bart yells. So I totally get it.
Well,
yes, we have two cats. One of them is a rescue, and they both hide. That's fun.
Well, here's some good news for you, Jessica. I mean, this is still a pretty tight race.
I bet he could win at any moment. I will say, despite the fact that I have less teams than Josh still in the bracket, I have two left in the final four, which is the biggest one.
That's important.
As long as University of Florida and Purdue keep it up, I might still edge them out of the game.
Okay.
Josh, are your final four still alive and well?
All four and all eight of my Elite Eight are still.
Wow. He's sitting pretty.
Okay, he is. Okay.
That is not looking good for you, Jess.
Let's enjoy it today. All right, you guys. The Sweet 16 is Thursday and Friday, so the next time we'll check in with you guys, I think, is next Monday.
Awesome.
That sounds good.
Okay, good luck, you guys.
No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck to Abby's cat. Not to Josh.
It's closer than I thought it would be already, to be honest with you. But it does prove the point, man. Mm-hmm. If you know so much about sports and you're diving in all the stats and everything, somebody comes along that doesn't know anything, you're just as good as you can.
And nobody knows less about basketball than my 5-month-old kitten.
The Bird Show.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like, suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Katie, so what's going on now? You got Pops who's kind of coming in your life and leaving in your life, and now you're struggling internally if you should be there for him?
No, this is not about me
at all.
This
is not you.
No. I talk to my father at least once every 3 months. So,
you get him once a quarter, baby.
Yeah, once a quarter. We do a little check-in. Hey, how you doing? Okay, cool. Bye.
See you in Q3.
Right. No. This is someone I know is facing their own internal dilemma because they grew up with a two-parent household. Both of their parents were married and stuff like that, and their dad was always active in their life. And they actually favored their father more than their mother, right? They just had that close bond. But somewhere along the way, after like they graduated high school, the distance started to happen when their parents got divorced. And they slowly became estranged from their father, and they haven't spoken to their father in over 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And so right now, the problem is that in 10 years, they're just like, it is what it is. I lost that parent. I've moved on with my life, continued to just go on.
Was there anything major that happened to cause a fallout or?
No, just the evil stepmom coming into life.
That'll do it.
That hurts, man. Well. So he picks the new woman over his daughter?
Over his child.
Okay.
So I think that's where it caused the estrangement. However, within like, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, their father reached out through social media. Now, mind you, they haven't spoken, no contact, the phone, none of that. Didn't even follow each other on social media at all. And the father reaches out saying, hey, I'm in a really tough spot. I just recently had a medical emergency and I'm stranded in another city. Can you help me?
Mm-hmm.
And so for my friend, it's like, I want to because I love my father. I care about my father, but we haven't spoken in 10 years and you're reaching out to me for help. Why haven't you reached out to anyone else in your life? Why is it me? And so they're torn because it's like, I want to step in and help, but how can I help someone who I really haven't spoken to in 10 years? Is it going to be the right thing to do? Are we just going to reconnect some way? Like, what do you do in that situation?
Well, how I would feel if that happened to me, if me and my dad hadn't spoken in that long and all of a sudden he needs something and he comes to me immediately, I'm not going to feel like, oh my God, it's my dad wanting to have a reconciliation with me. I'm just going to feel used. Like, you need me for transportation or money or whatever. And it's not that I wouldn't help him, but it would put me in a position where it's like, okay, yeah, I'm going to help you, but are we going to have a relationship after this?
Yeah, this whole situation is so maddening to me, and it's exactly the one that I went through, right? And I will tell you this, is that it is the greatest gift that I gave to myself, taking care of my dad the last 6 months of his life. It's the exact same story you're talking about. And if you guys are new around here, I don't really want to get into the whole thing because I've told it so many different times, but same type deal. Estrangement for 10 years. I hadn't heard from him. My dad's wife, I didn't know he was married, calls me out of nowhere and says, I'm leaving your dad. You really should do something about it. And to make a very long story short, my dad was terrible at dadding. He was the worst, right? And I had to make the same decision that your friend is going to have to make here. And I took the high road, which I didn't even think that I was capable of, because I hold on to things. I hold on to things really long time, and decided that I was going to do what was absolutely best for him until he was gone, just so I could look myself in the mirror and say that I did everything right. So I took the high road. I did that. It was an amazing storybook ending 6 months to our relationship, and he passed away. And it was the greatest gift I ever gave to myself. Not necessarily him, but everything I did in that 6 months is the only thing I have ever done in my life where I made the right decision on every single decision that had to be made. I did the right thing. He passed away. And I could tell you that it changed the trajectory of my life. I just felt so much better about myself. I didn't even know I was capable of taking that kind of high road. But it changed my life. And it wasn't for him. It was for me. So maybe they could do the same for themselves.
I know for me, this is a situation where my reality and my pride would probably not match. I know my pride would tell me that it's not fair and I probably would feel like I'm being used, but I don't think I would be able to live with myself if I didn't help knowing I could. Mm-hmm. So I would probably just put that to the side and do whatever it is that I could do, if not for him, for myself.
I think that was probably some of my mindset also. And if you're going to indulge in something like that, though, if you're going to make the decision like, I won't be able to live with myself if my dad passes away and I didn't help. If you're going to make the decision to help, you got to be all in. Dabbling in it.
Yeah, I would treat him like I treat my toddler. So when Jimmy does something, like if he misbehaves in any way, shape, or form, and he wants something after that, he has to apologize for what he did, what he said, etc., before he can get what he wants. So I would be like, that's how I'm like, well, you know, okay, you need this.
is there anything you'd like to apologize for?
Mm-hmm.
And I would literally just treat him like I do my toddler. And it has to be a sincere apology. Jimmy's got to look me in the eyes. Yeah, he can't just say sorry, because I ask him, I go, what are you sorry for? And he actually has to say what he's sorry for, because you have to know why you're apologizing. Mm-hmm. And if you can't do that, then I can't help you.
I didn't have those conditions. It was unconditional, because again, I wasn't doing it for him. So I didn't really need the apology. This was all, maybe it was a very selfish act. It was all about me, so I didn't need to hear him apologize for anything.
Hey, good for you. I need apologies.
Here is Jordan, who is giving the exact opposite advice. Run, Jordan says. Run. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
But yeah, no, I would just ignore that message, block him, and then keep it moving. My wife had the same thing happen with her, dad. He came in the picture, took some money, and then dipped.
Oof.
Hasn't talked to her since.
Yeah.
And now she's all thinking about it, like, man, you know, so I just keep it moving.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Time that's best.
The Burt Show.
Cassie, I'm guessing this was a pretty emotional weekend for you.
It was. I went down to New Orleans, where my sister lives. I'm from Louisiana. I grew up there, to spend some time with her and my mom. My mom has stage 4 breast cancer that has metastasized. I can never say that word, but it's all over her body, in her, you know, lungs, brain, the whole 9 yards. So we're kind of on borrowed time with her. And it feels very lucky, actually, because we did have some doctor friends say that anything after this past Christmas was a blessing. And she's a tough nut. She's hanging on in there.
Can I ask you a deep personal question? And if it's too deep, then you say, I'm not comfortable.
Sure.
Do you guys talk about the future with your mom?
I mean, yes and no. And that was a lot this weekend. It's always, my family is very British. And by British, I mean, I was born there. But it's the way we, or they, deal with emotions and feelings is a little different from, I think, what a typical American family, how they might deal with it. Very reserved, mm-hmm. Sort of insulated. So it's kind of hard to have those conversations, but it's necessary. So we have been having them, and it's been very cathartic. But it has been very, very difficult.
Has it been mostly about, like, planning, or is it fear, or is it what's in the afterlife? Do you guys have those kind of combos? You stay away from entirely?
Kind of both. Yeah. I think my sister is she's nearby. So I think she's had more of those conversations with my mom, but I've been part of a few of them. She's mentioned that she's seen her dad, who obviously passed away decades ago when he was 60, like dressed in a suit, coming to visit her. Mm-hmm. And so we took that as a very good sign. I think she, you know, I don't want to speak on her behalf, but I think anyone going through this would be very apprehensive about what's next. And I told her I call it leveling up, because she did tell her, she's like, I don't want to leave you girls this weekend. And I was like, you know what, I don't want you to leave either, but you're leveling up. And I truly believe that when you get to the other side, you're gonna sit there and be like, why was I sad? Like, it's okay. And you're gonna be able to see our lives unfold, and then one day we'll see you again when we level up. And I feel like calling it leveling up, in my mind, it's kind of like trying to make death a positive thing in a way. You know, I do believe that it is the next chapter in our existence. And we're always scared of the unknown, because why wouldn't you be? You don't know what happens. You know, no one really knows what happens. You can have theories. But that way, I think it's something like, I like to think that there's a higher consciousness, yeah, whatever your belief, and that we will see each other again, whatever that looks like. And so we had those conversations. We had conversations about, did she want to be cremated? What does she want done with her remains afterwards? And that's tough, because she grew up in the UK, but, you know, we've lived in America for all of our lives, and it moved around. So it's very hard to have a place that you feel like is home. Like, I don't feel like I have a hometown. I have places I lived for stretches of time. So I think it was good. And then there are other conversations we've had about closure, about whatever we've been hanging on to during the past. So it's been, I knew going into this week we would be making some great memories, but I knew that it would also be very emotionally difficult, and there'd be some heavy emotional lifting. And I think I got everything. I think we all did, got everything that we wanted out of those few days together. And it was a really, really great time. So thank you guys for letting me go hang out with them for a while. I really appreciate it.
But did you get any beignets?
I did not.
Oh, Cassandra.
Woman.
Dude, I'm from the area. They're a dime a dozen.
But you had to eat one for us, man.
I ate plenty of gumbo for y'all. Okay. And crawfish. Oh, my God.
That's
anyway.
What I'm talking about.
So good, dude. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so when we went down there, we had kind of decided a little bit in advance. We had been talking about it, and I wanted to kill my sister when she brought it up because she's like, Ma, this was months ago. We should get matching tattoos. Let's get the pink breast cancer ribbon on us. And I was like, why did you just offer me to get, I don't want a pink breast cancer. I'm happy to get a tattoo in honor of my mother, but it's just, I didn't want to look at it and be reminded every single time that she got breast cancer. And it's just not something I wanted. And so I'm like, how do I do damage control? So I found a different design. I'm like, what if we did this? And they loved it. And now my mom, again, remember, British reserved, her mother was part of like a Wimbledon sister club and played croquet. Yeah. They are very regatta, posh. Pim's cups. Yes. Very posh. And had once told my sister if she ever walked through the door front door, she would not allow her to walk through the front door of a house with a tattoo. So my sister's like, I'll go through the back door. And then got scarification done in Africa by a tribe. Like, was like, I don't care. So my sister's been open to it. So having my mom open to this, I was like very surprised. I actually didn't think it would happen. And so I put forward the idea of these matching tattoos, and I found a fine line drawing online that is two halves of a heart. So I have half of a heart now that has her birth flower on it. My sister has the other matching piece of that heart. And then my mom has the full heart with all of our birth flowers on it. And that way she is our whole heart. But when she's gone, we still have half of her heart and we can make the whole heart again, my sister and I. So it's kind of symbolic. And I got it done. It's my first tattoo ever, okay. Which I wasn't really expecting. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Oh, hello.
Hey. All right.
Showing us your feet too. For free.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Mo. My foot's like right in Mo's face. He's like, God, get your feet away from me. Especially because I always kick him during the show by accident.
Yeah, my knee is a little
sore. Sorry. And so, you know, it was, people asked me if I was nervous beforehand, especially my husband who has a lot of tattoos. And I wasn't. And I wasn't apprehensive because I just knew it was the right thing. And the reason I got it there is because often when I'm relaxing, I always cross my left leg over my right. And so then whenever I have downtime, I can see her and look at her. And that way it's not, I'm not thinking about, you know, her death in the middle of the show or something because it's on my arm. And I just felt like it was some beautiful closure. And the tattoo shop we went to, we had the same artist do all three of our tattoos. And they were so kind. You know, my sister called in advance and was like, my mom's immunocompromised. She got clearance from her doctor, her oncologist, before she did this. And they're like, I'm so sorry, would you mind wearing masks? We walked in, the entire shop was masked up.
Oh my God.
And it was just not even putting on masks as we walked in. We're already masked up before the appointment. And it was just that kind of like, I mean, they don't know her, but that kind of support, I think that becomes really meaningful when you have a parent like that or a family member who's immunocompromised. And the fact that we were able to have this experience together, and she got the heart on her wrist so that she can look down on us as well, you know, at her wrist and see us both. And I couldn't think, you know, I had thought my first tattoo was going to be the phoenix that I told you guys about, which I'm still planning on getting. I think this is more meaningful this way.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that I got it done in New Orleans, which is a city so special to the three of us, it's really, I grew up right outside of there when I was younger before high school, and it stuck with me the most out of everything. And it's still bizarre to me that I have a tattoo. Like, I keep expecting it to rub off, but I like it. And I don't know. It's just, I'm walking away from that trip feeling like I have, closure isn't quite the right word, but I'm at peace.
Yeah.
I feel like I've accomplished everything. I mean, I'd like to spend more time with her, don't get me wrong, but I feel like I have accomplished everything that I need to in terms of processing and dealing with it. And I don't think I realized, I was excited about the trip, but I don't think I realized how important and impactful it was actually going to be.
You have to kind of deal with these things so individually and so different, you know. There were a few months ago where I was almost like pushing Cassie out of the studio to go and hang with her mom, right? I'm like, are you sure? Are you absolutely sure? I don't want you to look back at any of this time and have any kind of regret, right? Kristen handled her dad's situation very, very differently and gave her peace, where you were by his side for a long time, did the show from down in Orlando also, and you chose not to go that route because that was not going to give you peace, and this did. And I just want to compliment you for being true to yourself.
Thank you. I think it's very tough to navigate. I'm also lucky that my sister is very close to them, so she visits a lot. And we kind of joke that she used to live in Africa because she was in Peace Corps. So I did the first leg of handling the parents, and now this is her turn.
Yeah.
That's her joke. But I think it's also difficult for me to navigate because I have kids now. Mm-hmm. And so it's, do I rip them out of school and away from their friends to go live with someone who is sick and let them see their GG deteriorate over time? Do I take their mother away from them so I go live with my mother? Is that fair to my kids?
Right.
And so I think at the end of the day, I told myself, you know, it's got to be about stability for my children first. And as long as I'm able to still love my mom and support her, which was why I went to Houston for her brain procedure. And I've been there for other appointments and I will go again in the future. As long as my sister and I can balance that, I just want to try and give stability because we're also not in our house. For those of you who don't know, we had a tree fall in the house. So we're living in an RV. It's a long story. So everything right now is just like, and so I am trying to get some modicum of stability in my life. And I finally just feel like the fact that I'm able to do this entire break without the high-pitched crying noises that I normally make to me really does indicate that I'm in a more at peace place. Now, maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
We'll feel differently.
Sure.
The Burt Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.